Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We've seen many unsung heroes over the past year or so, you know, ever since the pandemic started, like health workers, of course, top of the line, taxi drivers, those out and about, even your food delivery guy, if you think about it.
Even all the food stores, not the merchants, but the people who are working front line, taking your orders, cooking for you. These are all unsung heroes who are providing some sort of normalcy to feed people in Singapore, especially with so many people in Singapore buying food to eat at home. We, in fact, even sang a tribute song for them last year.
From the balcony?
Yeah, from the balcony.
I remember that. You know, with vaccines or vaccinations underway, if there is some slight relief as we try and gear towards some form of herd immunity.
Also, very recently, the Ministry of Health yesterday, in fact, reminding us not to shun people who work in hospitals.
Absolutely, yes.
Because apparently there have been reports that this is happening all over again. Just a reminder that these are our heroes. They are here because we have to be saved if ever, God forbid, any one of us gets the virus. However, even as you said, with the vaccination, the need for continued testing with an antigen or PCR, the quarantine, mask wearing, contact tracing, it remains a recommended global medical practices, whether for cross-border business or large events.
So we talked about all these heroes, these frontliners, these unsung heroes, right? And I think the one that we tend to miss out on are the guys, the people that handle your test samples, the people who do diagnosis.
In the laboratory.
Yes. So our next guest, InnoQuest Diagnostics, believe it or not, has completed over 1.4 million COVID-19 PCR tests with over 4 million patient results.
So we are, of course, curious. When samples are collected at the front end by medical staff in medical facilities, how are these samples handled, stored, and tested?
Oh, this is going to be a fascinating conversation. On the line with us is Dr. Anthony Stanislas, Chief Operating Officer at InnoQuest Diagnostics. Dr. Anthony, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you both?
We are doing very well, sir. And, you know, I suppose as COO of InnoQuest Diagnostics, we'd like to say thank you for all the work that you guys have done.
Yeah, thanks for that. Thanks to the team, too, for supporting the nation.
How many facilities do you guys have? I mean, what kind of manpower size are we talking about here?
So we actually have a COVID lab and also our general diagnostics lab.
Okay.
So in total, we have about 600 over staff, but just at the COVID lab, we have slightly over 100 staff just focused doing COVID PCR testing.
Wow.
Doctor, I am very curious about the process that goes into getting the samples and how it is tested. First of all, what I want to know is that why do you need to swab, you know, very deep inside the nose or the throat to get a sample when we've been told that it's easy to, you know, get a COVID, get the virus from droplets?
Yeah, so it's basically down to the way the virus behaves, right? Mm-hmm. And how it enters your body. And so most infections, research has shown, you know, which are the best methods to test, to pick it up with the most highest amount of accuracy. Mm-hmm. So for COVID-19 virus, it has been found that the nasopharyngeal pathway is the best location to pick up the virus. So that's why we actually perform the swabs, because it yields the highest accuracy in detecting the virus.
Mm. Okay, so now when you swab inside the nose or back at the throat, as I've seen some people have done, what happens to the sample?
So once the sample is collected, they will be packed and prepared for our riders who will come either via van or bikes, depending on the volumes of samples, after which they will bring it across to our lab, where it will then be distributed. In our COVID lab, we actually have four different labs, sub-labs, where we have four different teams running COVID tests 24 hours a day. So once the samples reach, they'll be distributed among the four labs. Mm-hmm. And from then on, the entire journey starts, where the staff will then start ensuring that the patient record on the swab and the forms tally to ensure that, you know, they don't get mixed up and no samples have been left behind, or, you know, some additional swabs make its way to the lab. So all these processes are in place to ensure that the right patient gets the right test results. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So once that's done, they will then start processing it for the PCR, right? So in our lab, we have various type of platforms. So there are some platforms where once you prepare it to insert into the machine does the entire PCR process. Whereas we do have other platforms where it's broken up into an RNA extraction step and the PCR reading step. So it depends on which lab they go to, and then they go through that entire process.
Sounds like quite a bit of testing is done on these samples, and since we do use the word samples, I mean, are any of the samples by any chance, like after you've done the reading, you find out, okay, this is negative, no COVID, or this has COVID, is there a percentage of that sample that's stored away, frozen, or kept away that, you know, could be used for, I don't know, development of some kind of a treatment or some kind of a vaccine?
Okay, so what happens is that when we do have a negative result, we will keep it for a certain number of days before we discard it. But when it is positive, usually what happens is we will repeat it on another platform to ensure that it is truly positive. If there's any discrepancies, we will then work with one of the government labs to counter-check. After which, all positive results will then need to be sent to the Ministry of Health. Because they are keeping track of the strains and things like that. So usually the positive samples will be sent to them.
Ah,
okay. So for the positive results that you get in the initial test, and then you run a second test, and then you run the government test, how long does the whole process take?
Okay, so most of the time, right, it varies between platforms, but most of the time it takes about 6 to 8 hours.
Okay.
Because, you know, when I say 6 to 8 hours, it's actually from the time it arrives at the lab and goes through that entire journey till the result is released. So it's about 6 to 8 hours.
So the testing on its own, the first initial test, rather, when you put it into the machine, how long does that process take?
So after the human process, right, of sorting and ensuring the accuracy of the labeling and things like that, the machine process varies between 3 to 4 hours.
Wow.
Okay, that's
quite long, though, when you think about it, for a machine to process this. Doctor, so we've heard about false positive results, right? Is a false negative also possible?
Yes, because though PCR testing is the gold standard, but, you know, like all testing platforms, there's nothing that's 100% accurate. So most platforms, PCR platforms, the ones that we select are usually around the 95% range of detecting this virus. So usually there is a chance, also a chance of a false positive or a false negative in that sense. So that's why it's always important to take into account the clinical history, the exposure history, you know, and that's also why, you know, we have a longer period of quarantine where you have repeated testing to ensure that you pick it up. Because the other factor that also determines the detection of the virus is the viral load. So, you know, patients who don't have symptoms or who are in the later stage of the infection usually has a lower viral load. So that's when, you know, depending on the sensitivity of the platform, it will affect the detection.
Okay. Doctor, so is it at this point during testing or the initial testing in the machine that we are able to uncover if this patient had the virus before and recovered already, or how long the virus has been in this person?
Okay, that is not possible, unfortunately. Okay. However, currently, because we have blood tests to check the antibodies of COVID-19, so that's why now the government actually uses both PCR testing, serology, and exposure history to determine if this is likely an old infection or recovered patient or it's a new infection.
Okay, definitely.
However, however, like, you know, as you can see, over the past couple of months, we are still getting to know this test. We're still getting to know what to do with certain results. So, you know, that's why there's a lot of changes in terms of, I don't know, the length of quarantine. And
for sure, for sure. Yeah. And we appreciate the fact that it's so tricky that even later on when you have proper treatment, it's a cocktail of treatment. It's not just like one cough mixture and everything is solved. Right now, though, I mean, more than a year of PCR testing, are there still misconceptions that people face? Like, you're about to do a swab test, you know, I believe that that's going to hit the reset button in my head or something like that.
I think the biggest fear that people have is, you know, what if I end up being positive and how will it impact my family, my job, and their social life?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's usually the biggest hindrance, and that's why the government is actually doing a good job in trying to encourage people to get tested by allowing them to have access to various number of clinics and even different sites and hospitals to at least ease access to testing in that sense.
I guess one of the misconceptions that Elliot was talking about on a personal basis, I have family, extended family members who refuse to get tested because they said if the test comes out negative, then they would have wasted their money. That's one of those things that you want to get tested because you want to be negative to protect others and yourself, right? Now, what about the risk for the people in the lab processing the samples? Is there any personal risk for their safety, or what are the measures being taken in your lab at InnoQuest to avoid infection?
Okay, so at our labs, we ensure that all our staff are safe and protected. So all samples are only opened under a biosafety cabinet. Okay, biosafety cabinets are basically a negative pressure environment where the airflow does not allow the viruses to flow out of the cabinet into the room. So it's a one-way directional flow. And besides that, the room that these cabinets or the PCR machines are placed in are negative pressure. Mm. So when they walk in and out, the airflow is one directional. Mm. And on top of that, all of them have to wear full PPE. So they're all wearing the N95 masks, they're all gowned up and all gloved up. So they are protected most of the time. So that's where infection control methods are very, very important in protecting our staff.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine who actually does this and for another company, and he's told me in the past that he feels quite safe, you know, giving them our protection and everything that's involved in working in one of these labs. Though, I must say, though, the unfortunate stigma when you look at such people, oh, you're exposed to the virus every day, you start to keep a distance from them. Do you guys at InnoQuest, how do you manage that with these guys who are collecting samples, who are doing the testing? How do you keep their mental health and their morale up, you know, even though outside there are people that look at them differently?
Yeah, so a lot of it is also down to education, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to let them know that, hey, you're always protected and safe so that, you know, they can at least ease anxiety among their family members. And in terms of mental health, at InnoQuest, at our COVID lab, they work on shifts. They work, say, on Monday, they're off on Tuesday, and they work on Wednesday. So they always get a day off after each day of work so that they can recover and rest, right? Because, you know, during this process, it's actually very important to be alert. Mm. So we ensure that they actually have their day offs. And of course, you know, we try our best to allow them to have, you know, family time, able to go out and meet their friends during the off days by ensuring that they are well safe and protected in terms of reducing their risk of getting contaminated or getting infected. So we try our best on that aspect.
Doctor, what are we learning from this current situation that we're in shaping the future of the lab testing scene?
So I think COVID-19 has allowed the people to be exposed to all the different aspects of the healthcare ecosystem and its importance. So I think we'll start seeing more and more people getting more into their own general health and well-being. But in terms of its effect on testing, I mean, it really depends on the current restrictions that we have in society. So currently, you know, like when we were doing our circuit breaker, because most clinics were asked to defer appointments and things like that, so we did see a drop in the number of testing in the non-COVID aspect. So, but after the circuit breaker, as the government opened up society and most of the economic sectors, we started seeing improvement, and it's almost back to its original level of demand.
All right. But looking with one eye into the future, we're still trying to get over COVID. Are you guys watching out for the next type of disease? Does this create the urgency to look out for potential? I mean, can you guys even detect the variants ahead of time?
So the variants are now detected via gene sequencing.
Right.
So that's done at the government labs. In terms of infectious disease testing, I think this is a good learning point for all of us that, you know, there may be another future pandemic down the road. And how do we then prepare ourselves to ensure that we can always step up to support the nation, for example? So even at InnoQuest, we are now looking at all these kind of initiatives. So post-COVID, what do we do? So maybe do we then keep some of our existing platforms and use it for other types of testing so that, you know, down the road, if there's a new wave of infections or another pandemic, we can always then step up. So these are the discussions that we're actually going through right now. And I think there will be more and more laboratories around the world thinking along those lines. Mm. Because one of the biggest struggles we had was actually getting the platforms when COVID hit early last year. Because all around the world, everyone was sourcing for that equipment. Yeah. And it was a bit of a challenge to get our hands on those. So I think decisions will now take that factor into account in terms of what we do in the long term.
Yeah, we often forget about the test kit situation and the supply chain issue that caused early on. Wow, it's a lot to think about and a lot to appreciate. We've been speaking with Dr. Anthony Stanislas, who is Chief Operating Officer at InnoQuest Diagnostics. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Anthony. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.